You can stay for a bit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just be seated? Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot going on right now. But there's nothing that's going on that isn't greater than the name of Jesus. Is that right? Is that right? Hey, 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 hey. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're just going to go where God wants us to go, which is what we want to do. You know, it's great to be organized and it's really, really good to plan. But, you know, just as it was with the law was set down to actually serve, was given to serve. It wasn't given to hinder, it was given to serve. And we prepare. But, you know, I think that by the end of my message this morning, I might land in Romans 12, which is the chapter that the gifts of grace revealed. But if we don't, you're going to have to forgive me because I'm just going to go with this, all right? So, hallelujah. Turn to everyone and say, that's okay, right? I can do that because I've got the microphone. So I'm allowed. It's my turn. Amen. Bless the Lord. So we might be looking around and thinking, hey, what's happening? There's a lot happening. Amen. And, you know, it's so important for us to discern the times and the seasons, but things become so obvious sometimes it's almost like, you know what, you have to trip over it to recognize it. But I think that God is revealing much in these days, and we don't want to miss the moments. We don't want to miss the opportunities that God set before us. We want to walk right into what He has. We want to be in His plan. I don't believe that there's any, there's ever been for me personally, and I know for the body at large, that a time of being, it's so important for us to be rightly aligned. Yeah? Yeah? That, what am I saying? Being in the right place. Yeah? And stay in line, stay finely tuned to what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And God is wanting to open our ears that we would hear and our eyes that we would see and recognize what's happening and not just go, ho-hum, let's move on with what we have planned, because God has greater plans for us. Turn to someone and say, His plans for us are greater than the plans that we have for ourselves. Amen? Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. We know, and everybody I'm sure here today has is aware that Charlie Kirk went to be with his Saviour this week, and a man of unwavering faith and courage. I just want to read a little bit about him in case if there's people here that don't know him or haven't heard of him. He was one of the highest profile conservative activists and media personalities in the US, and a trusted ally of President Donald Trump. He was shot dead on 10th of September at the age of 31 while hosting a college event for Turning Point USA, the organization he co-founded in what police are calling a targeted shooting. President Donald Trump announced the shocking news of Kirk's death, paying tribute on Truth Social. The great, even legendary, Charlie Kirk is dead. No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie. Kirk was seen as both the future of conservative activism as well as a highly polarizing figure. With that, I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would, please. Thank you. You can finish up if you like. You can join that for me first. Thank you. We're going to read from verse 6 out of the Amplified Classic. Yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of the world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. I'm going to read that again. Who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. Is a good word right there. Amen. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us up into the glory of His presence. You know, I believe that that's the hour that we're living in right now. That there's wisdom that God actually devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. Hallelujah. This is the season that we're living in. This hour we're living in, this hour is lifting us into the glory of His presence. And there's truth and wisdom that He's revealing right now to lift us up into that place, that we will begin to see things as He sees Him, as He sees them from His perspective. Now, when I'd listened to Charlie, as many of you others here, put your hand up if you've ever heard him. I heard what's it? Yeah, cool. I'd be amazed at the wisdom that came out of that young man's mouth. Would you all agree with that? Yeah. His ability to answer every naive young person who thought they knew everything. Did any of you ever see any of those interviews? Yeah. Who thought they knew it all. He would clearly and lovingly speak the wisdom of God, and they would begin to stumble over their stupor, over the stupor that was coming out of their mouth. He helped them. He was bringing the light of wisdom into a whole generation. The light of wisdom, wisdom beyond his years. Look, where did you get that from? How does he have such a broad knowledge? Where did that wisdom come from? I believe it came from God. And it was actually to lift the generation up into the glory of his presence. Hallelujah. Opening their eyes, revealing their blindness. The blindness that comes from the darkness of the age which has been drip-fed to this generation. It would shine a light, and I know that many of us would think, wow, like, he's speaking for me. Anybody? I would have loved to have that wisdom. I would love to have that answer. He's speaking for me. Anybody? So many times. I'm going to pray right now. Father, I just thank you that you are flooding the eyes of our understanding with light, Father. This generation, Father. You're filling us with wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. Oh, hallelujah. And the power that lives within us and flows through us because we believe you are who you say that you are. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the eyes that have been opened through this man's ministry. And we thank you, Father, that it hasn't stopped. It will continue from generation to generation. I want to go to verse 7 now. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They would never have crucified. Big mistake. Big mistake, huge mistake. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah for big mistakes. Amen. Because God is glorified in them. And there's a plan that's being played out. Anyone agree with me there? You can preach back to me because it's really encouraging if you agree. Amen. There's power in agreement. Don't drink your agreement down. You know, the scripture says where two agree as touching anything on earth, it will be established for them by their Father in heaven. There are some powerful agreements that need to be made. Yes, amen. Someone say that. Yeah, amen. What happens is the word of the Lord lands when you say amen. When faith rises up in your heart when a word is spoken, you know, one would say, well, that's wisdom coming out of one's mouth. But it's wisdom to understand where the scripture says, if you agree with that word you're hearing and you say amen, your amen is as powerful and sometimes even more powerful than the person who spoke the words. Are you getting what I'm saying? The words are powerful. Amen? But it's not a time to shrink back with the yes and the amen. Because you know what amen means? There it is. There it is. And it's time that we saw some things and begin to recognize, hey, there it is. That's what I spoke about. That's what I heard about. There it is. It's turned up in my world. It's been made manifest in my world. Someone say, it's time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time. Bless the Lord. I'll go back up. Woo! Hey. Glory. Your glory. Did you feel to say glory then? When I said glory, don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity. Hallelujah. He was setting forth wisdom. Backing up a bit. It's verse 7. He was setting... I mucked that up. Never mind. We'll go back to verse 7. He was setting forth wisdom that was hidden from the understanding, which God devised for our glorification to lift us into the glory of His presence. The devil hates wisdom. Jesus made unto us wisdom. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we pray for wisdom. Hallelujah. John 12, verse 23, the Passion Translation. And he, Jesus, replied to them, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. All because one grain died. That was the first scripture that came to me when I heard of the news. The second was, if Satan had known what was going to happen when he crucified Jesus, he would have never have crucified the Lord of glory. Both of them came at the same time to me. Both of them. And I know that it's come to everybody, but you know, faith comes by you hearing God speak. Is that right? Bless the Lord. When I was speaking to my friend Rory about it, she said, if Satan knew Charlie was a bag of seeds, he would never have buried him. Amen. That's a good word. Thank you, Father. He was a voice for so many of us. But you know, the thing is that he's cheering on our voice now. He's in the cloud of witnesses, cheering on our voice. And the glorious thing is that seed has now been multiplied, because there's a stirring taking place. And there has been. There's an awakening happening in our nation. And there has been through the power of prayer. But you know, there's acceleration, and it's a sign of acceleration. Amen? Here we see. Let's go. 23 through to 28, 24, let's go to 25, I believe it is. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. Amen. Amen. What does that mean for us? We detach ourselves from the world's way of doing and being right, and we take on God's righteousness, which is His way of doing and being right. when we detach ourselves from the world's ways of doing and what we think is right within the world. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We begin to live the life that Jesus died for us to live. The one who detaches himself from the world. Amen. And abandons himself to me. Abandons what? Abandons the old ways of doing. The old ways of thinking, but steps into that being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. That's when we find true life and we enjoy it forever. You know, what come to me is that people are wanting to live a long life. Anyone want to live a long life here? People are wanting to live long. But sometimes we can forget that the object is to live well. We strive for long life, but God's saying, I want you to live. Oh, hallelujah. To live well. To live well. Amen. To run the race. To finish the course that's set before us. Hallelujah. Verse 26, if you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon you. Even though I am torn within and my soul is in turmoil, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial. For I have come to fulfill my purpose to offer myself to God. You know, we're living in an hour of trial. We're living in an hour of testing. Is that right? Anyone in agreement with me? Yeah? But this word says, but Jesus said, for I have come to fulfill my purpose to offer myself to God. Do you know, I really believe that there's a call across this generation, a call across the globe for us to offer ourselves to God. It's been a holy frustration within me for quite some time. God's calling us to offer ourselves, what as? Living sacrifices. Amen? He's looking for some living sacrifices which tuck into Romans 12, which I was going today. Holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable service in view of the mercy of God. What is the mercy? The cross is the mercy of God. Verse 28, so Father, bring glory to your name. Then suddenly a booming voice was heard from the sky. I have glorified my name and I will glorify it through you again. His desire is to glorify his name, and he has glorified his name, and he will glorify his name again through his church. And where we have seen Charlie and just have so much, I personally have so much admiration for that young man and the fact that he was willing to count the cost and speak the truth in love, amen, to glorify the name of Jesus. He says, I will glorify my name again in and through. Someone put their hand up. Amen. There's an enlistment taking place right across the globe. I said there is an enlistment taking place right across the globe. Amen. Hallelujah. Multiplication. I believe Charlie was born to die for his faith. It's my personal belief. And you know, it's really we're born again to die. Amen. We're born again to die for our faith. Every one of us, daily. And in this life, he was an offering to help with the awakening that is taking place and accelerate the fire that is beginning to burn in the heart of this generation. I feel like there's an arrow going forth, just accelerating that fire. Anyone notice that? Breathing on that fire that has already been ignited. There's a stirring that has already begun. There's a fire that has been ignited, bless the Lord. Amen? But He's accelerating that. His death has accelerated that. When it comes to His stand for moral and biblical truth, wisdom beyond His years, He carried an anointing. A fearless anointing. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but one of love and of power and of sound mind. He stirred it up. Amen? And God is stirring that spirit of love, spirit of power, spirit of sound mind. Sound mind. Amen? That the church would come back to a sound mind. Some of the things the church are preaching, believing, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He's bringing the church back to soundness of mind if we will step into what He's doing, because there's an invitation that's been given. I said there's an invitation that's gone out, and we've had opportunities before, decades and decades of opportunities, but God's saying the time is now. Hallelujah. You doing okay? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Dealing with fear, stepping out of passivity. I said stepping out of passivity. And living for the higher cause. That the church would rise up in boldness and courage. The scriptures above, as I said to you, were the first things that come to me, you know, like, wow, hearing of His death. And the thought came to me, He was martyred. He's a modern day martyr. And then you're hearing it all over the place. Is that right? Because that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Amen? It can't be, church. If the events of this hour are not stirring you, I won't say any more. You know, they need to stir the church to momentum and acceleration. You know, if you stir something long enough, it'll just thicken and set. But it can't be, oh yeah, okay, on behalf, let's get on. That's why I can't just land straight on the grace gifts today. Though it's a progression, I can see the way God's going to dovetail it in. It's an empowerment, foundational empowerment for us to actually do the life that we're going to commit to do today, which I'm prayerful that I have a bit of an altar call today, because otherwise I think I might hang up my microphone. Have you noticed the stirring in the church? Have you had a stirring in your gut? Deep in your gut, have you had a stirring? God is moving. God is doing something. You know, whatever's been going on in your world, it needs to be, you know, the stuff that's concerning you, the needs, the wants, the must-haves, you know, they have to pale into insignificant in the light of what Jesus Christ is doing in this hour. You know, if it pales into insignificance, I tell you what will happen to you. You'll turn around and you won't be able to find it. You just wake up one day and it won't be there any longer. Because your eyes are focused on Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? How you doing? You doing okay? Is this coming together all right? Bless the Lord. Bless you, darling. What is a martyr? A dictionary says it's a person who is killed for their religious or other beliefs, to die for what they believe in. I believe that He was willing to die for our faith, and you know what, for His faith, and I believe that we all carry that. We all die for our faith daily. We need to be dying for our faith daily. In other words, putting to death the deeds of the flesh to obey Jesus Christ. putting the flesh to death daily. Putting fear to death daily. Putting our wants, our needs, our must-haves to death daily. Amen? To obey Him. How do I die daily? Obey Him. Obey His word. Yeah? Is this okay? I put my flesh to death by obeying Him. Luke 9:23, Amplified Classic. And when He said to all, if any person wills to come after Me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself. Underline himself, and his own interests. This is Jesus speaking. This is the gospel. I want to read that again. And He said to all, if any person wills to come after Me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interest, refuse and give up himself. Refuse himself. Give up himself. And take up his cross daily and follow Me, cleave steadfastly to Me, conform wholly to My example in living and if need be in dying also. Amen. I mean, we can have trouble just forgiving someone who made a little bit of a slip in the way they spoke to us. Or maybe they weren't smiling at the same time. Jesus said, give it up. Die to it. Die to the offense. Amen. And then you will truly live. Praise Jesus. How do we die daily? Obey God's word and not our flesh. In the book of Acts, we see in chapter 7 where Stephen openly challenges the religious system of his day, proving that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, and the scribes and the Pharisees could not overcome his arguments, so they killed him. Amen? He wasn't all that popular. Likewise, Charlie Kirk was a defender of biblical truth and successfully argued against wokeness and the insanity that we are seeing right now. He couldn't be argued out, so he was killed. So what does that look like for all of us? He's telling me, Pastor Kimmy's saying we've all got to be martyred. You know, sometimes we just have to be happy with speaking the truth, even though we know that the person that we're speaking it to doesn't want to hear it. Or maybe we might lose a friend because we no longer compromise them. I said because we no longer compromise them. Because to agree with a lie is compromising the person that you're agreeing with. You're compromising their life by agreeing with their lies that they believe. I said you're compromising them. You're compromising them. We can compromise a whole generation by not speaking the truth in love. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We see in John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, this was not a political assassination, but an evil fighting against good. It wasn't a political assassination. It was one of evil fighting against good. Jesus said, everyone who does evil hates the light because it exposes their evil deeds. Charlie was a strong voice to a whole generation, shining light of the gospel on the reality of God and on the word of God. The anointed he carried with it a high level of responsibility to be a part of the awakening that we've all been crying out for. You know, we want revival, but God wants revival in the church. He wants the church to awaken. Amen? To wake up to who we are in Christ. Amen? To awake to righteousness and stop sinning. Is it all right if I say sin? To awake righteousness, to righteousness and stop sinning. And if I look at someone, please don't think I'm talking to you. It's just like, I need the long distance thing at the moment, so I don't really know who I'm looking at. Maybe that's a, yeah, okay. I'll talk about that later. Amen. Awake to righteousness. Stop sinning. We need to start to call sin, sin. You know, we were, oh, everyone get saved, get saved. God wants the church saved. Actually, he wants to become Lord. Not just Savior, he wants to actually become Lord. I said he wants to become your Lord. That means that he gets, oh, hallelujah, he gets to call the shots. Amen? I said he gets to call the shots. He's waiting for his church to live the life of Christ. Awakening to the church. What does it mean for us? I've written here. I believe it's a turning point. Funny thing that. For the body of Christ. A wake up call. He's sounding an alarm. He's blowing the trumpet. If you think today I'm just making a big deal of one man's death, you're very badly mistaken, and I'm concerned about you hearing from Holy Spirit. Sorry, not sorry. He's sounding an alarm. Very loud. Joel 2, verse 1 to 3. This is in the New Living Translation. Sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear because the day of the Lord is upon us. Turn to someone and say, the day of the Lord is upon us. Man, you know what? The day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. He's regrouping the troops, he told me months ago, years, I don't know how long ago. He said, I'm regrouping the troops. Step in line, mark in time, take up your sword, your shield, and enforce the victory. Just let the Spirit wield the word of God. The sword that the Spirit wields. A great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has ever been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them and flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. Reminds me so much of Isaiah 60, verse 12. Arise from the depression and prostration in which your circumstances have kept you. Rise to newness of life. Arise from the depression. We're all so depressed. Not me. People, oh, I'm depressed, I'm depressed, I'm depressed. You know why you're depressed? Because you're looking at yourself all the time. You can't be depressed when you're looking at Jesus. You can't be depressed when you're serving others. Oh, come on. Rise up from the depression. I'm depressed. Well, God's saying, rise up from depression. Stop looking at yourself. Look to the cross. You'll still love me? Okay. I don't want to compromise our church. Arise from the depression and prostration which your circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You know, years ago, the Lord said to me, you know, one day, you know, the day's coming where my church is going to be seen visibly as a nation unto me. And he showed me the face of somebody, an Asian person. He said, you'll be as recognizable as an Asian from a European. Because they'll be wearing my glory and it'll be visible. It will be visible. It will be seen. Amen? Come on. Is it worth it? Is it worth a bit of death to depression to rise up out of it? For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness all the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, Jerusalem. Turn to someone, say, the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen on you. His glory shall be seen on you. His glory shall be seen. We don't want to look like the world. We don't want to speak like the world. We don't want to act like the world. Amen. Surely, surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of my life, and your presence shall be my dwelling place. My presence shall be your dwelling place. Will abide in you, and now you will abide in me. And you will bear much fruit. You will multiply. I will fill the earth with my glory. You are my glory. You are called to my glory. Out of the darkness and into the light. It's a time for exposure of sin like never before. But why run and hide? He is glorious and freedom is glorious. Repent. Hallelujah. We go even deeper. We go even deeper. Hallelujah. 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 Arise, shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Back to John 12, 26. If you want to be my disciples, follow me, and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. Even though I am not torn within, even though I am torn within, and my soul is in turmoil, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial. I will not ask the Father to make me feel better about where I'm at. I'm going to deal with it. Amen? Every one of us needs to deal with something. And God, we don't want to ask Father to rescue us from freedom. For I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God, to offer myself to God. I mean, is there anyone that wants to actually offer themselves to God here today? I mean, every one of us can offer ourselves to God in a greater and a deeper way. Every one of us. And God's calling us to do just that. Jason, will you come up, please? Hallelujah. To offer ourselves to God. We are born for a purpose. So many of us are more consumed with how long we live rather than how well we live for Him. Many of us are consumed by how long we live rather than how well we live for Him. We are rather our eternal, our... Whoa! If we can live well for Him, we are better off living a shorter time here than to squander our life living long. God's fine-tuning his church. So important for our hearts to be postured correctly. 1 Samuel 3:10. Samuel postured his heart correctly. He was lying down. Now the Lord came and stood and called as other times. Remember, he called him several times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. We want to hear the voice of the Lord. We want to posture our hearts to hear from him. Amen? Not to state our case, but to hear from him. Offer ourselves to him. I've asked Jason to come and to read a vision that the Lord gave him. The golden trumpet. Yeah. This is just, what, 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'll get you guys to stand up if you don't mind. I saw a golden trumpet hovering over Australia. It seemed to be waiting either for its appointed time to be blown or for someone to rise up and sound it, but I wasn't sure which. It carried the weight of divine purpose like a catalyst poised to release something significant. It reminded me of a military bugle at dawn, specifically Réveil, the call that signals soldiers to awaken and arise and raise the national flag. I didn't see the trumpet blown or hear its sound, but I saw what would happen when it was. The outline of Australia lit up, the entire coastal perimeter highlighted, then streams of light representing people began rushing toward the coast from every part of the country, drawn by an unseen force. The scene shifted to beaches across the nation where people gathered for baptisms. It became a normal sight. People being baptized at the beaches as naturally and frequently as any other beach activity. I watched as the baptisms took place alongside surfing, swimming, and sunbathing. It felt like the whole nation had been awakened to God. Christians had been activated, sons and daughters of God, just like Romans 8 describes. They were moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit, aware of the authority Christ had given them, fearless in proclaiming the gospel and tender in their delivery. Instinctively, the newly converted wanted to be baptized immediately. After work, after school, in between errands, many were baptized by the very person who had just led them to Christ. What I saw was the church stepping fully into Ephesians 4:12, equipped to do the work of ministry. It was a picture of a great harvest, not just stadium events, although there's place for that too, but a mobilized, loving, anointed, and glorious church ministering powerfully to their colleagues, classmates, neighbors, and families. I was reminded of Matthew 11, verse 11, where Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, in that those who may not be esteemed or thought of as great were still a force to be reckoned with." I believe this is one of the dreams in God's heart, that the church in Australia would rise to fulfill this glorious calling. And what an hour and an honor it is to be a part of it. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're going to have a time of prayer shortly. And we're going to anoint whoever wants to be anointed with oil. For boldness to rise up. Anointing of boldness and courage. Step in. Step in and step up. Why don't you turn to someone and say, that sounds like a good idea, because we can all do that. Is that right? We can do that. We can do that. Amen. And I'm going to ask Jason to pray right now. Actually, if you'd like to be prayed for, I'd like you to come forward. Just move forward. Shift out of your seat. Just make yourself a bit uncomfortable. Those of you who can't do that, that's fine. I understand that. But position your heart. If you have to remain seated, just position your heart. We need to position our hearts, guys. This isn't just a good thing to do. This is a solemn moment. And I would ask people not to be walking in and out of the auditorium, please. I'd really appreciate it if you would just stay in that position of just, you know, like, what's going on here? Because I really see this as a very, very sanctified time. This is actually a sanctified, you know, we're sanctifying, we're separating ourselves to God. We're actually giving ourselves to God this morning in a greater way. Amen? That's what it's about. We're giving ourselves to God. We're positioning ourselves for this time, this end time. And I want Jason, I'm going to ask Jason to pray. I'm going to ask Jason to pray to remove fears, step out, and for people to step out of passivity, to live the higher life for the higher cause, and to rise up bold and courageous. It's time. It's time. It's time. Amen. It's time. It's time. It's actually time to live like Christians. There's another whack. It's time to live like Christians, church. It's time to stop getting drunk with wine. Here you go. Get that. Cop that one. It's time to be filled with the Spirit. Stop living like the world and go into the world for your highs. It's time to go to the Most High for your highs. I said, it's time to go to the Most High for your highs. I'll say it again. It's time to go to the Most High for your highs. Amen. I said, it's time to go to the Most High for your highs. Amen. Bless the Lord. So I just see this is a really, really special moment. And I would ask people, please don't be moving around.
And it's time to pay the price for the oil, that your lamp would burn bright and long. It's time to pay the price for the oil, that your lamp would burn bright and long. Hallelujah. And so we just thank you, Father, right now, that you are tuning our ear in to the sound of the awakening trumpet. Open up ears in the name of Jesus, that you would hear the sound of the awakening, that you would hear the sound of the trumpet awakening and calling your spirit to a higher place. Right now, be lifted up. Right now, be opened up in Jesus' name. You will not draw back in timidity and passivity any longer. You will stand, and you will stand strong and tall and proud in the name of Jesus. So we just thank you right now, Father, for that awakening sound that is being blasted over the nation right now, that awakening sound that is stirring every spirit, that is stirring every son and every daughter into action and into your arms right now. I thank you, that awakening sound that goes out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that our ears are tuned into it, and that there is a response that comes from our spirit. And in our spirit, we say yes. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes in response to the awakening sound. In Jesus' name, may it be unto me according to your word, Father. May it be unto me according to your word, in Jesus' name. So why don't you right now say yes? Why don't you right now say, I hear the sound of your trumpet waking me up and calling me higher. And I respond to that and I say yes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.